Amen. Genesis chapter 37. Actually, we're only going to be looking at the first 11 verses tonight. Genesis chapter 37, verses 1 through 11. Now, as things have been developing here in the book of Genesis, everything is building towards the establishment of the family through which the Messiah is going to come. So we have Abraham, who was chosen as the patriarch of God's chosen people, Isaac, who was the inheritor of the promises as a miraculous son, and Jacob, the inheritor of the promises as the preferred son. So with the view to the development of this family that through which the Messiah is going to come, you would think that as the book of Genesis continues, we would see emphasis on the line of the Messianic family. However, that's not the case. Most of the rest of the book of Genesis is about Joseph. And he's not in the line of the Messiah. Which son of Jacob is in the line of the Messiah? Judah. We'll see a little bit about him, which isn't very complimentary, but the emphasis is on Joseph. Joseph was chosen to save much people alive. Can you see that picture? Yeah, it's not too bad. Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20. But as for you, ye thought it evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. That's what Joseph was chosen for. Now, God knows that in Genesis chapter 37, verses 1 through 11, when Joseph is 17 years old, God knows that 20 years later, there's going to be this massive and destructive famine. He could prevent it, but he chooses not to. Instead, he has a plan to preserve people through it. And he determines that Joseph is the best person out of all of Jacob's sons to be that man to preserve mankind and save much people alive. Nearsightedness is the inability to see beyond the present. To be farsighted is the ability to see how the events of the present have a bearing on what is coming later on. We will find that Joseph was the only one of Jacob's sons who was farsighted, and probably the reason he was chosen. All of the rest of the family were very much immersed in the present. Now, Joseph is only 17 years old. It says so in Genesis 37, verse 2. These are the generations of Jacob, Joseph being 17 years old. Now, consider how long people lived at the time. Abraham would live to be 175. Isaac would live to be 180. Joseph's father, Jacob, would live to be 147. So how does 17 sound compared to all of that? Quite young, I would say. Even younger than 17 is today. There's not many of us that live to be 100. So, Joseph had a good and honest nature about him. Verse 2 continues, that he was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. So he's feeding the flock with four of his brothers. The sons of Bilhah were Dan and Naphtali. The sons of Zilpah were Gad and Asher. Now, Bilhah was Rachel's handmaid, if you recall, and there might have been some sense of attachment to these two brothers, having had the same mother, whereas all of the other brothers had a different mother. And it's interesting, too, that all of Leah's sons are grouped in a separate group from all of these. But here he is with these four brothers in particular. We don't know exactly why, but apparently these four brothers did something pretty bad. And Joseph decides to tell on them. When it says he brought their evil report to their father, that means they did something evil. And Joseph reports this. You can imagine this would not sit well with his brothers. And we might say, in Joseph's relationship with his brothers, this was strike one. Then, in verse 3, now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. So, we're going to talk more about this particular thing a little bit later, but suffice it to say, this was enough for his brothers to say, strike two. And then verse 5. Joseph dreamed a dream, and he insisted on telling his brothers about the dream. And it says in verse 5, Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. Now, remember in verse 4, these brothers could not speak peaceably to Joseph already. And when we see the content of this dream, well, it certainly doesn't help anything. Dream number 1, verse 7. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose. Remember how I described this morning? They cut the stalks, they tie them into bundles, and those bundles are called sheaves. You can see that in the picture. My sheaf arose and also stood upright, and behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. Obeisance means to bow down in acknowledgement of the superiority of another. Do you hear what he's saying according to this dream? He is superior to all of his brothers. Ooh, how to win brothers' affection. Verse 8, and his brothers said to him, shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? Well, that didn't go over too well. But then Joseph had a second dream in verse 9, and he dreamed yet another dream and told it his brethren and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. Now, this involves not only his brothers, but his father and his mother who has already passed away. Verse 10, he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to the earth? and his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. Now, Jacob tries to be diplomatic. He does rebuke Joseph for the arrogant suggestion that his whole family is going to bow down to him, including his mother and his father. But Jacob also knows what it is like to have a dream from God. Remember, Jacob's ladder, we call it. Now, there's no indication that Joseph himself interpreted the dream at this time, but everyone else seemed to understand what the implication of the dream was. And this was strike three. What happens when you get three strikes in a baseball game? You're out. Well, next week, three strikes and you're out. But for now, let's consider. What are we to think about Joseph at this time? Could Joseph have kept these dreams to himself? He could have. Was he being obstinate and boastful? The dreams were obviously given to him by God. And so maybe he thought he was sharing some divine information. Did he see himself as a prophet? Did he see the connection between the dreams and something that was going to happen in the future? Did he understand the implication of the dreams at this time? Regardless of what he understood at that moment, the fact is his brothers would bow down to him in the future. Genesis chapter 42, verse 5. And the sons of Israel came to buy corn among those that came. Verse 6, Genesis chapter 42, verse 6. And Joseph was the governor over the land, and he it was that sold to all the people the land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth. And on their second trip to Egypt, remember what it was said that the brothers' sheaves did obeisance unto me. Remember that word? Genesis chapter 43, verse 26. And when Joseph came home, they brought him the present which was in their hand. This is the second trip that the brothers make down to Egypt to buy food. And bowed themselves to him to the earth, and he asked them of their welfare, and said, Is your father well, the old man of whom ye spake, is he yet alive? And they answered, Thy servant, our father, is in good health, he is yet alive. And they bowed down their heads and made, there's the word, obeisance. Sure enough. We just have to wonder how much Joseph understood at the age of 17. When he told the dreams to his family, was he making an honest inquiry of his family as to what it all meant? Or did he already have the interpretation like he would interpret dreams later on? What we know for sure is that years later, in Genesis chapter 42 and verse 9, Joseph would remember the dreams he had at the age of 17. And Joseph remembered the dreams which he dreamed of them. At some point in his life, he would make that connection. But back to the brothers and these reactions they had towards him. Genesis chapter 37 and verse 4 tells us that after Joseph was given the coat of many colors, they hated him. And then in verse 5, because he wanted to tell them a dream, they hated him yet the more. And after the first dream he told them, they, in verse 8, hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And after the second dream was told, his brethren envied him. Now, to say that they hated him, they counted this brother as an enemy. But to say that they were envy means they were jealous of him. Joseph is winning. We can't let Joseph win. He has the advantage over us. We can't let that be. Now, the brothers' hate and envy appears to be rooted in their resentment for their father's favoritism of Joseph. In verse 3, it says, Israel loved Joseph more than all his children. Benjamin was already alive. Their mother was already dead. And there's a daughter also, remember, Dinah. So why wouldn't Jacob prefer Benjamin? He was the youngest. Oh, but his birth took Rachel away from him. And he may not have appreciated that. Joseph was the favorite. And so he gave him a coat of many colors, which was a mark of distinction. There are two other garments of many colors in the scriptures. In Judges chapter 5 and verse 30, there was a man named Sisera. Remember Sisera? Wasn't a good man. But his mother said this in Judges chapter 5 and verse 30, to Sisera a prey of diverse colors, a prey of diverse colors of needlework, of diverse colors of needlework on both sides, meet for the necks of them that take the spoil. Oh, those who are victorious and take spoil in battle should be dressed in garments of many colors to show their victory and distinction. And then in 2 Samuel chapter 13 and verse 18, regarding one of the daughters of King David, and she had a garment of diverse colors upon her, for with such robes were the king's daughters that were virgins appareled. A garment of distinction. And a special garment like given to Joseph by the father, usually in that time, indicated something regarding the inheritance. Did Jacob intend to give Joseph the bulk of the inheritance? That would make the brothers jealous, wouldn't it? I mean, the scripture doesn't specifically state that, but in light of the coat of many colors, there was something that Jacob was singling out Joseph for. And all the brothers We're very much aware of it. So, Genesis chapter 37 and verse 3. Some of these brothers were already noted for doing something evil. Joseph had carried the evil report of four of his brothers. Here is a note of warning. Those who do evil usually do not consider the consequences of their actions. They focus only on the pleasure, the power, the gratification they experience in the moment. But Numbers 32, verse 23 says, "Be sure your sin will find you out." All of the brothers resented Joseph's prosperity. Verse 4, when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren. Oh, they saw that. It was obvious. In verse 8, they say to Joseph, "Shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us?" They could not rejoice with Joseph in his good fortune, because they considered Joseph's good fortune to be at their expense. In the New Testament, we would find this, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 24, "Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth." Joseph's brothers had no idea how to do that. They wanted what they wanted for themselves. Joseph had everything, and they didn't like it. Here's the lesson we need to learn from this part of Joseph's life. Life is not a series of punctiliar moments, each disconnected from all of the others. Today is a moment in time. Maybe something significant happened in your life, maybe it didn't. Some days seem more important than other days. But life is progressive. We are always working towards something. As a small child, we are preparing to go to school. In school, we are preparing for graduation and a job. In our job, we are preparing for having a family and a household. As life goes on, we're preparing for retirement. And for those of us who are Christians, we live our lives in preparation to see Christ. We're always preparing for something. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." God is continually doing a work in us. Philippians chapter 3. And verse 14, we are to be doing this: "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 13. I guess it's chapter 1. My note says 4. The screen says 1. We'll go with the screen. Chapter 1, verse 13. No, wait a minute. Find what I'm looking for here. You know, I did one chapter 4, verse 13, and I put the wrong verse on the screen. Let's go over to chapter 4, verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, and I wanted to bring us to this next word, till. And make this point, as it says, the notation is correct. The verse is wrong on the screen, but the notation is correct. There is always an until in the Christian life on earth. Therefore, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 10. Don't live for self in the moment. See every day as a building block, as part of our progression toward the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, as it says over in Ephesians chapter 4. And here it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 10, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth the thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. We are in a constant building process in our lives. Sometimes the word is in Scripture that is used is edification, but it's the idea of building on the edifice or constructing a building. And God uses here in Scripture the metaphor of building a building as an illustration of what's taking place in our Christian lives. God is doing a work, and he will continue that work. We are to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. There is always an until. Life is progressive. We cannot simply live for the moment. We must see what God is doing in our lives is always preparing us for what is to come next. And the wonderful thing is, we have this in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, and you probably are able to quote this verse, many of you, Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good. Not everything you experience in life is going to be good. There are going to be challenges, temptations, difficulties, struggles. But it will all work together for what God is preparing you for. He's always preparing us for something. And every experience we have in life prepares us for the next chapter in our lives. And ultimately is preparing us for our glorified lives with Christ in the future. Joseph had some dreams. And they weren't about the present. There was no intention for his brothers and his family to bow down to him when he was 17 years old. It was something that it would happen years later, but consider all of the things that he had to go through to get to that point. Cast in a pit by his brothers, sold into slavery, put into prison, have a promise to represent his case before Pharaoh and be disappointed that that doesn't happen. One challenge after another. For 17 years. Till his brothers would come. That's roughly 13 plus how many ever years it took for the brothers to run out of food. 15, 16, 17, somewhere around in that time period. Or actually, maybe more when I think about it. A lot of years he had to go through difficulties, one difficulty after another. But God was using all of it to prepare him for something significant. What is he preparing you for? You may not know right now. He might not give you a dream like he gave to Joseph. In fact, he won't. But he has something in mind for your life. And everything you will go through day by day is preparing you for what he has planned for later. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this lesson. Help us to understand the significance of the events of our lives each day and appreciate what you are doing in working in us. The work you want to do so that we will to do your good pleasure. Prepare us. Help us to see the preparation taking place and help us to be ready for those things you have planned for us in the future. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.